So yeah, I agree with you. I think that's the future we are
Yes.
going. And I see this more concretely. When I started crypto, I was like, is this in 2018, 19, at some point, wow, I love the vision, but will this really happen? And
Yes,
now
it's
we
happening.
can't think
Yes.
it's happening.
Yes, it's
It's
happening.
there.
Hello, innovators, explorers, and risk takers. Welcome to another episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. And on today's podcast episode, I am interviewing Laszlo Szabo from Kiln Finance. And today we are going to be talking about DeFi as well as all the financial innovation happening on blockchains. Also, nothing mentioned in this episode should be taken as investment advice. If you enjoy this episode, then please share it on your social media. And with that out of the way, let's get into it. So, Laszlo, it's great to have you here. It's an honor to be interviewing you and finding out everything about Kiln. But my first question to get us started is, how did you end up working in Web3, blockchain, crypto, this field?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sam. So you are in Auckland, New
Yes.
Zealand, if I'm not mistaken. Back then I was in Hong Kong working in a very different industry, hospitality, and then I did a trip to Tokyo. And in one of my, I would say, I encounter a person there, Adam Treadman. He was the CEO of BRD Wallet. So that was one of the largest crypto wallet back then. And he explained me Bitcoin. So after I met him, came back in Europe. I was in Europe back then, and he were working and studying in hospitality and bought some Bitcoin. That was 2014. I knew about Bitcoin, but I didn't look at the technology and this decentralized way of sharing, transferring, and storing money. And when I was back in Switzerland, I could go to the Bitcoin ATM, so I could buy Bitcoin to a physical place. And that was the first time. And then second time, I had a friend in 2016, childhood friend that worked at Consensus in Brooklyn. So he would explain me their ICOs and decentralized computer vision and so forth. That's when I realized, okay, maybe we could build an whole industry around this blockchain technology.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so what problems does Kiln solve?
Yeah, Kiln is trying to, first of all, democratize value creation in Web3. We think Web3 and digital asset in general is a way to replace finance and digital money, and by sharing more value that is being created at the edge of the network. And it means that we are trying to be the leading rewards platform in the space. We started with staking, we could come back to it, and now we're going to any kind of DeFi yields. And we usually work with partners, exchanges, custodians, wallets. They themselves have users, retail users, institutional users, to share them rewards, to share them yields, depending on the assets that they hold on their platform. Yeah. So that's what Kiln does, right? We enable these platforms to offer yield and to share the value that has been created on the blockchains. Yeah.
Fantastic. So give me an example, like a real life example of how it would work. What type of customers come to you? What are they looking for? And then what do you do with their funds or how does it all work?
Yeah, of course. So many of our customers are exchanges, custodians, wallets, the crypto platforms. When you want to buy some crypto with fiat, you usually go to an exchange, or you want to store it like in a self-custody way, you usually go to a wallet. If you're an institution, you will use normally a custodian. So we started with staking, and we start by providing the infrastructure for this platform to offer staking to their customers, retail or institutions, and being validator agnostic in the background, meaning so we'll run the nodes because you need to have a validator to validate the
Yes.
transaction of a staking protocol. In return, you get the rewards. But we'll also run some APIs because if they want to use another node operator to offer staking to the users, they can with us. And we do this on 20 different protocols, right? So
Wow.
all the stakeable assets that you hold in custody in an exchange or in a wallet, you can definitely stake it through this platform. And there's a high chances that it's us pouring the tech, pouring the infrastructure in the background so that you can earn rewards on these assets. So that was one, but we're launching as well now a stablecoin product so that if you think about it, the other assets that you might not get rewards on are stablecoins and also Bitcoin. You might think, oh, but I can't stake Bitcoin. Yes, you couldn't until now. In the future months, you will be able to stake Bitcoin and get rewards on your BTC wherever you hold them. So that's a concrete example where we...
Yeah, so where does the yield come from in lots of different crypto projects or tokens, chains? A lot of them do give out yield or even exchanges. Where does most of the yield come from in this space?
Yes, the staking yield comes from two sources, the inflation of the protocol and the transaction fees. Let's take Ethereum as an example. It's the largest staking protocol. It's the largest staking market.
Yes.
Ethereum has approximately half, this definitely varies, of its rewards coming from the inflation of Ethereum every year, the new Ether that are being created, even if the protocol is deflationist, because a part of the fees will be burned to make the overall protocol deflationist, the difference between inflation and deflation, negative. So there's inflation. The inflation goes to the stakers and there is the fees. When you send me some an NFT, you're paying a fees to the network and this gas fee go back to the stakers. So that's the two main sources of rewards. In case of DeFi, if you, for example, lend or borrow your stablecoin, you basically pay an interest to the person via a pool, for example, Aave, Compound, or Morpho, that lends you this USDC or USDT or whatever stablecoin you want to borrow. So it really depends on which rewards yield we're talking about, staking from the protocol, and I would say decentralized finance, but it's more of a market dynamic.
Yeah, fantastic. So when you said that you'd be launching a new product to provide yield on stablecoin, provide yield on Bitcoin, where would that yield for stablecoin and for Bitcoin come from? Would it be lent out to other people or?
Yeah, so stablecoin, the yield will come from lending borrowing protocols, Aave, Compound, Morpho, Venus, Spark, others, the blue chip ones, the main ones. And for Bitcoin, the exciting ecosystem that is being built on Bitcoin today, it's Bitcoin staking. Sam, have you heard about Bitcoin staking?
I have heard about it, and I do know of one or two other companies looking into it. Phoenix Group, which is the largest Bitcoin miner, then they have the M2 exchange. I've interviewed the CEO, founder of the M2 exchange as well, and they are offering something similar to institutional investors, but I'm not sure about the full details of the product. But please enlighten me about your product. This is for the audience so that they can learn about it too.
Yeah, if you think about Bitcoin rewards, since FTX, it was before most of the Bitcoin's yields you would find in the market would be lending borrowing, but from centralized companies, right? You'd go to Genesis, FTX would borrow some money from Genesis. Genesis will maybe match you with a lender. And a lot of the exchanges will offer centralized lending Bitcoin type of yields.
Yes.
The problem with this is that in immature markets of sorts, it could be risky. You have counterparty risk of the company you've been borrowing or lending with. What's emerging right now, it's basically an ecosystem that is being built on top of Bitcoin. So it's like ordinals. Now you have NFTs on Bitcoin.
Yes.
You thinking of, oh, actually we can do L2s on Ethereum. We will be also be able to do L2s on Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So an L2 on Bitcoin could be an EVM. So you still code in Solidity, for example. That's the case of Botanix. But you pay the fees in Bitcoin because the security and the proof and the transaction are at the end anchored on the Bitcoin blockchain. So with some BTC you have, you can now have a rewards that is native in BTC, right? Yes. That's one way, L2s. The other way, I've heard about Babylon and restaking.
I've heard about restaking, but not Babylon. Please feel free to share, yes.
So restaking, it's a concept that has been invented on Ethereum, right? Eigenmayer invented this concept of reusing the security of Ethereum to secure other network, shared security. And we are seeing the same concept happening now on Bitcoin. So Babylon is saying, okay, you stake your BTC on the Bitcoin blockchain. We reuse the staked BTC position to secure other networks. So that's the two ways. It's one way is L2s. The other way is like shared security on Bitcoin. So restaking on Bitcoin. Babylon is the best example I have in mind. Yeah. So what we will do is basically support this network, run validators, and make sure our customers, exchanges, wallets, custodians can offer Bitcoin rewards to their customers. So Sam, where do you hold your assets? That's my question.
In a wallet, digital wallet.
Can you share which wallet or do you want to
see Exodus? Exodus, MetaMask, just the standard ones, all the Ledger. I think it's Ledger or something. Yeah, just the standard ones. But as a retail, small investor, not really anything major in that.
So I'm confident you will be able to get rewards or yields in BTC or in stablecoin in the future on Ledger and MetaMask, for example. I can say this.
Yes. Oh, fantastic. That's very exciting for anyone holding those assets. So you know how there are some liquid staking and restaking platforms? Would this also have those sort of abilities or?
Yes. So restaking, definitely. So for example, we are the largest independent Ethereum node operator in the world, meaning we are the largest company that runs nodes, and it's our job is only to provide rewards. For example, Coinbase is bigger than us, but it's an exchange, it's vertically integrated. So in that case, we could offer two types of liquid staking to our customers. One, it's like you're an exchange, we can provide you a white label liquid staking product. So basically a white label Lido, if you will. You can do the crypto.com ETH or whatever company brand liquid staking token you want to offer. If you are in the institutions, you don't want to commingle funds, right? If you're an ETF, for example, you want to stake your asset because you have an ETF, it's a big business model, but you can stake more than X because you need to be liquid. In that sense, you need a way to have liquid staking, but without commingling funds, right? Because
an ETF
in New Zealand. That's right. Yes. If not, an ETF in New Zealand might not be seen similarly as an ETF in the US by the SEC or in Singapore by the AMAS or in Europe by MiCA. So we're tokenizing actually the validators. So that's liquid staking for retail or institutions, fungible or non-fungible. And for restaking, now that the rewards on Ethereum will go down as we advance, it's normal. It's more and more secure. The inflation will decrease as well. And the volume of Ethereum, volume of transaction are going from L1 to L2s, L3s. Because the volume of transaction going to L1 and to L2s and L3s, and maybe L4, 25, 26, depending on the layers you have in the future, right?
Yes.
The two, I would say, ways to get different rewards, maybe higher rewards with higher risk as well, is one eigenlayer, because a lot of these L2s will use Eigenlayer as validation kind of a mechanism, or they will be also staking on Starknet and ZK-Sync and Optimism and Arbitrum that have their own chain, right? That will have their own chain, won't use Eigenlayer. So definitely restaking, it's a big topic now, and we're going to support it across the board so that from a wallet that you are using or an exchange that you're using, you're going to be able to restake. You won't forcibly know it, but often it will be us in the background.
Fantastic. And so what are some of the challenges that you have to face building a company in this space?
Yeah. What do you think?
Education of clients would be another big thing to even explain to them what you do. It is a challenge because our whole field is so new that none of us grew up thinking we would work in blockchain because it didn't exist. We did, none of the term Web3 or crypto didn't exist. What's not part of the normal vocabulary for people? That, and then the third challenge that I have seen founders face is accessing talent in this space who are knowledgeable of this space. There's so few Web3 developers in the world, like probably 30,000 or something compared to the 30 million in the Web2 space. So it's just that these are the, but you could be facing some completely unique challenge that I have no idea of. So that's why I thought I'll find out from you.
No, that's, I mean, you say education. Yes. You would be surprised. People are, mixing staking, protocol staking with lending and borrowing in DeFi and other type of DeFi yields. So you need to always explain where, what does it mean, but to stake, where does the rewards come from as you asked the question?
Yes.
And so forth. So education is a big piece. Regulatory, of course, right? A lot of these topics are gray zone still. So you wouldn't be on top of the curve. You won't be proactive more than reactive. You want to explain the different regulators around the world. What do you do? What are the risks? But also that you might not maybe want to be regulated as a custodian because you're still a non-custodial tech provider and things like this. The talent, I used to be a recruiter myself. First company I launched. Recruitment and talent, that's what I do all day still. I guess you always, you never change, right? People say.
Yes.
So I'm always the old recruiter that I used to be. I wouldn't say it's not a challenge. It definitely still is a challenge, but it's something I'm thinking about every day naturally. So
yes.
I wouldn't say that's the hardest challenge we face now. The hardest challenge we face on top of the two you mentioned is security, right? Security is a big topic in Web3,
yes.
In digital assets.
100%.
There's a lot, there's slashing when you touch to staking. There's hacking when you touch to DeFi and smart contracts. So these are things that wake me up at night. And last, it's going really fast. It's going really fast.
It is.
To give you an example.
It is. I cannot keep up, man. I work day and night in this space and I cannot keep up.
Man, it's going. So if EigenLayer, you mentioned to restaking,
yes.
Like EigenLayer, I think the white paper was like a year and a half, maybe. And it became a topic for our clients because they were late on launch and then they accelerated. So 3 months ago, I think now we have $12 billion that have been restaked through EigenLayer in a couple of months. In a couple of months. So it's, you think, oh, the merge happened. So it's all fine. Oh, but that's, actually there's a new merge that is EigenLayer and is happening 3 to 4 times faster. So you always have to keep up. You always have to be on top of the innovation curve to offer that to your clients. And I guess it's sometimes tiring, but that's also why we are in the space for open innovation and because we're always so excited to learn new things.
Yes, that is so true. You know how you talked about EigenLayer, what do you think is on the horizon in your view? Because we cannot know everything, but in your view, what are some other projects you have seen that you really like or that there's a great future for them?
Yes, I'm very excited again about the everything stablecoin rewards and yields through lending, borrowing, but corporate bonds completely on-chain through smart contract,
yes.
And real-world assets, right? This is coming. I'm in the space. Sam, you say 2012 yourself. I'm 2014 myself, but full-time maybe 2017. And I've seen this private blockchain proof concept from large banks trying to talk their asset on-chain. But that way, private blockchain, come on, this will never stand 20 years, 30 years, 40 years from now. We're losing the meta liquidity transparency of a public blockchain. I'm seeing now money market fund tokenized and different other projects that show that this financial ecosystem that is being old, that has been expensive, that has been opaque, is moving towards public blockchain. So that's very exciting to me. And last, I'm very so excited as well. I think today you have 450 million people that are touching crypto in the world, right? So it's 7% maybe of the world's population. Don't quote me on the 7%. If it's 8%, sorry, guys. You're the...
Yes.
I think that there will be killer apps in Web3, but I think there is a world where the amount of people using internet and the amount of people transacting with digital money every day will, converge and we'll have people using blockchains, crypto, yes, stable coins, everywhere in the world in the amount of billions. So I'm very excited for this to happen. And for people to integrate with blockchain, people need to have wallets. And I see account abstraction. I don't know if you know this technology a little bit, but I see ways of launching wallets of you, Sam, and me accessing a wallet without 24 words, without 12 words. Come on, my mother will never use a wallet if
exactly
she has
exactly right
a paper under her bed and remember this. No. So in two click, there's a face ID. It's still non-custodial on your phone. The private key is on the secure element of your iPhone or your Samsung. Yes. I see this coming, arriving, and I can see my mother maybe in a couple of months, maybe in a couple of years, but not that far, using stable coins. Sometimes she will know it. Sometimes she won't even notice it, but it's actually this payment and digital system being replaced. So this new wallet ecosystem coming, very excited about.
Yeah, most people will use it when they don't have to learn about it, when they don't know it. Just like most people use apps that are hosted on AWS. We don't care about it's hosted centrally, decentralized, distributed. We don't care. We just use the product. We don't want to learn the underlying technology. So I do think that stablecoins are going to be the backbone of the global financial ecosystem. And it is already happening more and more. And I've seen, I'm very bullish on stablecoins because that was the first time I could see and it happened. Like I started paying people in stablecoins around the world and people started paying me in stablecoins from around the world. So it was beautiful because now you don't have the fluctuation of Bitcoin, Ethereum. You don't know in a year's time whether your expenses are going to be $500 or $5,000 or $50,000 and vice versa, what you're making. It's fluctuating, it's inflating and deflating so fast. So the stability is needed. Any country that has unstable currency that is inflates or deflates really fast, like the whole business dies there, like pretty much the whole economy dies, it suffers because people need stability to do business and stable coins provide. Most people don't care about it to that level, whether it's centralized or decentralized. Did it allow me to do the trade, do the business and get my money? That's all they care in the immediate because that's their problem right now. The centralization is the future Sam's problem in 10 years or 5 years or a hypothetical Sam's problem in future. So most people want just the convenience and the speed and the low transaction costs and those type of things. There are a lot of stable
which will happen.
Provide that.
Which will
yes.
happen.
Yeah.
Which will happen. So I personally think, everyone will have a wallet. All the future will be on-chain, non-custodial, even if a platform can provide you wallets that does maybe only a few things. It doesn't have to be completely open like a MetaMask or Exodus dimension you're already using. It could be a bit more walled garden for other users that don't need to have a lot of complex UX, but while still using non-custodial wallets and stable coins. And I think transactions go down, decrease, nearly to zero because it costs nothing, right? To do a transaction on L3 or L2s.
Yes.
And that's better for the user. And I think the new business model that will emerge, and you also as a user, me also as a user, will be benefiting from this. You're going to be able to access yields in real time, right?
Yes.
Your bank is going to be your wallet. Your stablecoin is going to be yielding as you would do, with your traditional bank, but you could remain liquid much faster. Whereas the traditional bank, if you take an insurance life, it takes quite a lot of time to take it. It takes quite a lot of time to go out of it, and everything will be opaque and more decentralized. So yeah, that's I agree with you. I think that's the future we are going.
Yes.
And I see this more concretely. When I started crypto, I was like, is this in 2018, 19, at some point, wow, I love the vision, but will this really happen? And now
it's happening.
It's happening.
Yes. It's happening
there.
Right in front of our eyes. And it's amazing to see it. The other worry that I have, the challenge that is around the security side, just in the last week, the number of scams I have seen, every bull market I see, like it's phishing. Phishing scams are the most common in this space. They would be using anyone who has a social profile. They would be using their picture, which is so easy. Just right-click, download the image and create an account with similar name on Telegram, on Twitter, on wherever, on LinkedIn, on all these places, and an imposter account, and then start like messaging people that, hey, you did this, we're launching this new thing, whitelist, we're doing an airdrop for, because you've been a fan of my show, whatever, you know, or fan of this group, and I'm the admin, take part in the airdrop that we're going to do, all that stuff. And then as soon as you connect, your wallet is drained. And those sort of things happen in the Web2 world as much as Web3 world as well. Like phishing scams on email, people sending email as if it's a bank, that it's your bank account, log into your bank account and you have a new deposit that we need to locate who it's from. Please confirm it is for you. And then people log in. The page looks just like it. People enter their login and password. They steal it immediately. It's automated. Their bank account is drained. But with centralized, they can go back to the bank and say that this happened to me. And in decentralized world, you cannot go back to your completely decentralized wallet or something and go. And then that is a challenge. And because of that, there's going to be a higher proportion of phishing scams. These are pretty low tech. These are really low tech phishing scams. There's nothing more to it in the Web3 world, but it's going to be a problem. And I have no idea how to solve this or who can solve it.
Yeah, I know. For companies like, for example, Exagate or Blockade, we love Exagate. Say hi to these guys there in Tel Aviv. Are working actually with the wallets to prevent phishing scams. So it's before signing a smart contract that is actually a scam, you would have a warning, an alert. But that's definitely a very long-standing problem. That's what I was mentioning, security, right? It's not only hacks, but scams. As you mentioned, it's much harder to come back on something that is decentralized, that we will have to improve our standards. Imagine that $4 billion has been hacked in 2022 in DeFi. This is how can we have a scalable, massively used, decentralized financial system if we have so many hacks, right? But also from 2022 to 2024, and I can tell you because we have very hard security measures, and we even internalize now a security team and ours and so forth. It's a very different world because hacks and DeFi were maybe 1 or 2 years old. DeFi is like 2020. So we're getting there, right? But you're right. We still need to find ways not to get phishing scams.
Yes. Yes.
But we'll get in there. We'll get in there.
I know. I this is a question I do ask. It is around the same thing. I do ask around all the founders or VCs who come on the show. And that is that, do you have a ask? Is there anything you're looking for, whether you're fundraising or anything else? Feel free to share.
Yeah, I think you mentioned, I mean, if you're using one of our products through a wallet one way or another, if it's on Ledger Live, we actually, our brand is there. Or if it's on Safe, our brand is there. Or in a white label manner with Trust Wallet or other clients, let me know. Reach out on Twitter. Always happy to chat and to see how you like and what's the feedback you have on the product. And no, I think fundraising, let's see. It's definitely a good time for crypto company to fundraise. I won't announce anything, but if you are also passionate, regardless of the place in the world you are, we definitely still hiring. And otherwise, just listen to Sam. That's what I would say.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lazo. That's fantastic. And apart from Kiln and stablecoins, are there any other products as such, not like apps as such, that you have come across in the Web3 space that you really like and that you use as well?
Yeah, that's a good question. I started to have a speculative mind when I started crypto. I didn't have before. And I'm now spending maybe a bit too much time on Dex Screener and to see these memes that have sometimes funny names and can pump by the day or the 48 hours. But no, yes. I'm still looking for maybe better UX around decentralized social media. I haven't tried Frankcaster, right? If I'm not mistaken. So I haven't tried it yet. Maybe I should play around with it. So No, I think apart from everything finance, which I'm definitely using across the board, right? Like I'm testing
Yes.
all the wallets. I'm very impressed, as you mentioned. Oh, I can send some stablecoin. Oh, no, you know what? I have to give a credit. Have you tried Telegram once?
No, I haven't, but I'm going to because I'm going to some
Sam,
TON
you
events
need
like done like TON. They're
Tom, that's it. They're rocking. That's it. That's
they're
it. That's it.
blockchain.
That's it.
And so I'm going to some of their events in Hong Kong next week. So I have to try it before I go and speak with them or ask them any questions, interview them.
I guess you use Telegram every day, right?
Yes. Oh, all the
And
time. Like,
all the
yeah,
time,
all the
right?
time. 24 hours a day. Too much, but too much.
So that was the vision for Libra back then, with maybe Messenger or WhatsApp. So
Yes.
they wanted to have their own blockchain and putting wallets in the hands of people so that they can transact stablecoins. You were mentioning earlier, oh, the moment I could send stablecoin to my friend in 15 seconds, bam, he received the money. This is so seamless. That was so exciting. Man, the moment. And the reason is I had one guy from the Telegram team that came to my office, I think a few weeks ago, and we started to play around with the wallet, a wallet embedded into a messaging app. So in that case, Telegram that I use several times a day, man, this is another level. And because you can definitely send crypto, but you can send stablecoin. Imagine now I'm saying, hey, Sam, I'm actually, at the cafe and I'm waiting for you. Oh, what do you want? Oh, can you grab me a coffee? Yes, of course. And bam, oh, you already, in the same message, in the yes, of course, you already reimbursed me, your friend,
Yes.
and now the coffee is waiting. This is so seamless. And it's also a way, we were talking about stablecoin. Telegram has 1 billion user. It's a way to push these billion users to access crypto every day
Yeah.
just by for pushing them to transact stablecoins on a daily basis.
Yeah. Everyone has been trying to do this after WeChat in China because you could move money around with WeChat for probably over nearly a decade now. And that was the vision for what you call like a ecosystem app, or I don't even know what you call it, like a master app to have all apps inside. But
That's right.
Elon Musk wants to do with Twitter and all that stuff
Sounds,
as
yeah.
well, or with X and all that as well. But yeah, we will see. I don't know why it has taken the West so much longer to build that full infrastructure in that space. And the thing you're sharing about the coffee, the real example of that was 2023 ETH Denver. And all my, like, not only friends, but people we meet, and then we became like a big group of 25 people like me hanging around together. And it is 25 people, and everyone is from a different country. None of us have a US social security number, so we cannot have Venmo, so we cannot transfer money around. And we are going, like, for all these days, we are doing Ubers, sharing Ubers, three people here, four here, five here, and then sharing food and everything. And because the food bill for 25 people would be like $500 or whatever, or $800. And then we are sharing money, and everyone was just using stable coins to pay each other because there's low transaction cost. It was an instant, because we had no other alternative to pay each other for the person who was paying the bill, because none of us can have Venmo. We cannot have US accounts or anything, and we are not going to do like a bank transfer that takes 7 days for a micro payment. Seven, eight dollars, $10 is a micro payment. Yeah, so it was great to have the stable coins, and I immediately saw that, look, we couldn't have survived without this. It is a unique case because it's only at conferences, and crypto is the other world where there are so many conferences and events because everyone works remote. It's a decentralized environment that
Which is
people work
great.
in. And
Do
then, yeah.
we have this ecosystem with AI? That's what I love with crypto. That's what made
Yes.
me move full time into the space in 2017. I did my first conference in France, actually, was in Paris, first conference. And I got so FOMO'd by the community. I was so excited by all these builders. I moved right
Yes.
away the next month.
Yes.
And just coming back on your example, I just wanted to say on the east side of things, you mentioned WeChat has been
Yes.
doing it for a decade on blockchains. Now you were sending stable coins, I think at ETHCC, maybe you said, or ATM
Yes.
conference. In now, I think in Singapore, you have Grab, because you were mentioning Uber,
Yes.
right? Grab now is launching wallet for its users. I'm sure we're a couple of months away, maybe a couple of years away, so that you can now share your Uber or the car you're renting with your friends with stablecoins. And
Yes.
this is happening in the East. So I wish in the West, where I am right now, actually,
Yes,
in
yes.
Europe
It will
and in
happen.
the
It will
US.
happen. Yes, it will happen. It is like technologically, East has been moving really fast, but it will follow through in the West as well. Maybe US, it will take some time, but apart from US, everywhere else, it will follow through much, much faster. Because in US, people have to wait for regulation, which is really slow moving, which has been an issue for a lot of people in this industry in US. But yeah, so it's very interesting. I completely agree with you that yes, that's why Web3 moves faster than AI, in my opinion as yep. well. And that is that you are you work in recruitment, and why do you want to hire like the best people in a 50-mile radius compared to best people in 15,000-mile radius or like kilometer radius? It opens up. You can have the best people to work on your product that has the best fit with you. And then people now meet at conferences. And that's why there are so many. It's like Token 2049 in Singapore had over 400 side events. I'm sure you've been to ETHCC and so many side events.
I've been to Token 2049 Singapore. I'm going to be there this year as well.
I'll be there. Yeah, I'm part of the media for Token 2049. So I'll say hi to you. I'll connect with you on Telegram. Let's meet in person. But I'll definitely be there, and I'm going to lots of
different. So I can buy you a coffee and you send me back your stablecoin.
Yes, definitely. Or I'll just buy you coffee. You don't have to make me stablecoin. Unless you want to test a new wallet, or we can test the Telegram wallet. So
let's do it anyway. Let's buy each other a coffee and let's test the wallet anyway. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, And on that note, Laza, I want to say thank you for coming on the show and wish you best of luck for continuing to build in this space.
Thank you, Sam. Thanks for having me, and see you soon.
Thank you so much for tuning in and listening or watching this episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. By now, you know the drill. Leave a comment or share this episode with a friend and leave a review. I would love to hear from you. So that's why my DMs are open. Reach out to me, especially if you are a founder building a product in Web3. Then I would love to hear from you. What are your challenges? Is there anything that I can help you or my community can help you with? Thank you once again, and wish you best of luck in building your startup or your project.